Since 1986, Rich Green Lawns has been the leading lawn fertilization company of the Jersey Shore, providing lawn fertilization, bed weed control, tick and mosquito control, as well as tree and shrub programs. Mention this ad and save 50% off your first lawn application. Call or text us today at 732-370-5963. 732-370-5963.
Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Hook, Line, and Splitter is presented by NJR Home Services. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Welcome, everybody, to Hook, Line, and Splitter, episode 54 at Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Back live here in 2023, and we're going to go down under today with Jared Carr, 2022 Blue Claws outfielder and currently a member of the Adelaide Giants of the Australian Baseball League, a team that has several 2022 and future Blue Claws. We'll talk about that with Jared a little bit, and more on the flip side. Adelaide, we're recording this on Wednesday morning. We taped it with Jared on Tuesday, but it'll air Wednesday here, the 11th. They're going to go to Melbourne on Thursday and take on the Melbourne Aces. Adelaide has a two-game lead on first place over Perth in the Australian Baseball League Southwest Division, and they are one win away from clinching a playoff spot. Two of the four teams from the Southwest and two of the four teams from the Northeast will meet in the postseason. They want to win the division because Brisbane in the Northeast Division, 25-7, they're the best team in the league right now, and they took 3 out of 4 from Adelaide the other day. So if Adelaide can get in, they'll get into the semifinals and play either Canberra or Auckland and go from there and hopefully get into the championship series in the Aussie League. Chris Adamson, the 2021 Blue Claws manager, is the manager down there. We talked to Jared about his time at the Blue Claws, but a lot about Australia, what he's learned down there, how he's having some fun down there. Said he plays some golf, goes to the beach, and that sort of thing. So let's get right to it. And then on the flip side, we'll talk about some Blue Claw stuff. Job fair is coming up next week, over the next couple of weeks as well. So a lot to do. But first, our feature interview on episode 54 of Hook, Line, and Splitter, and that is with Jared Carr. Jared Carr was with the Blue Claws, of course, in 2022, joins us from Adelaide, Australia, where he's playing this winter and their summer for the Adelaide Giants in the Australian Baseball League. Jared, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Great. How do you like it down there?
I'm having a great time. It's always nice to get out of the cold when you can. But being able to play baseball all year round is, I mean, what more can you ask for?
Yeah, and you guys are on a really good team. You're in first place right now with two series left, I think, in the season. How's the playoff chase going?
It's going well. We played the top team in the other division this past weekend, and we didn't do so well, but I think it was kind of a good reality check for us, kind of just to get our confidence was knocked down a little bit, but I think we'll be good and it'll be better for us going in the long run.
So if you guys win the division, you play Brisbane?
So if we win the division, we'll play the second place team of the other division at home.
Okay.
So as of right now, I think that's Auckland. Well, actually, I believe it's a tie between Auckland and Canberra, but both teams that we won series against. So I think it's really important for us to finish out strong and get first place.
Yeah, Auckland and Canberra are tied.
Yeah.
Auckland's played four fewer games, but let's say they're tied. All right, so four teams will make it. So you guys are definitely in no matter what.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're trying to win the division.
Exactly. I don't think we're in no matter what, but I think with this series, we can clinch being in the playoffs with like a win or two.
Okay, you're 7.5 games clear of third with 8 to play. So
yeah, yeah.
Cool. So how is there are a lot of former Blue Claws there. I know Rickson, of course, and then some of the guys that came up near the end of the season. Tank is the manager. How do you like playing for Tank?
I love it. I think he's a great manager. I'm very thankful that he gave me the opportunity to come out here, and the Phillies organization gave me the opportunity to come out here and But yeah, I he's a great manager. He's really fun to play for, and I love getting after it for him.
When were you presented the opportunity to head down there?
Oh, it was really late. I kind of had mentioned, I had talked with Rickson a little bit and had mentioned that I wanted to come down here and play a little bit. So I kind of got asked maybe the last week or two of the Blue Claws season, and I had a couple of days to decide. So ultimately, I wanted to come down here, so I decided to come.
Yeah, in addition to Rickson, Anthony Quirion is there, one of the catchers, of course, Jordan Fowler, one of the pitchers, and then the Phillies have a couple other guys that did not have not yet played for the Blue Claws, like Starling Castillo. But if you had a lot of Phillies presence, of course, as you would expect with Tank, of course, being there. Starling Castillo, I see they keep calling him the Koala. Where'd that come from?
I'm not exactly sure. I think he just kind of started calling himself that. When we first it was like when we first got down here, he kept using the koala emoji in our group chat and stuff. So, he just started going by El Koala, and it's just stuck.
And he's had a good year. He's a good pitcher.
He's very good. Yes.
Yeah. So, Blue Claws fans will probably see him at some point in 2023 up here in Lakewood. So how have you progressed as a player this winter?
I think me and Tank, I've definitely focused on trying to get into a better routine for myself, whether it's pregame and practice, getting prepared in the cages, in the batting cages and stuff. Things like that. I think all aspects have gotten better though. I've been obviously working on everything, running, hitting, fielding. But yeah, I think getting into a routine that better prepares myself for the game itself is kind of what I've been searching for and trying to find down here. So,
you know, every morning during the weekend, you know, wake up and the Adelaide Giants on Twitter have posted a new video of you making a great diving catch in center field somewhere. I know you played a bunch of center field this summer. But just watching the highlights, it feels like you're really in a groove right now. How do you feel defensively?
I feel great. This is it's a great park to play center field at here in West Beach, because the wind is always blowing very hard and very in. So a lot of balls that are just hit really well that are no doubt home runs, I can really like test myself and go get after them. Those are like those balls that you see that are way over my head. Those are usually they would be home runs at most parks, but the wind just keeps them in, and it's really fun to go run those down because a lot of hitters think they have home runs.
Can you cheat in on a ball because you know it's not going to go over your head?
Yeah, typically I play like pretty shallow here because like you have to really really get one to get it out there.
You made the SportsCenter number one play in July this year, and then you made it later in the year. You made, I think it was six or seven. I remember asking you the next day after the number one play, which was a diving catch in left center field here when you were playing center field. You know, how did you find out, but where did you see that one for the first time? That had to be pretty cool.
The number one play?
The number one, yeah.
I was actually, I didn't see it that night. Mick Abel had texted me at like 2 a.m. and said, "Dude, I'm watching SportsCenter right now and you have the number one play." And I'm like, "What are you talking about? No way." And I like, honestly, off the top of my head, I couldn't even remember like what play it was during the game. And then I turn on SportsCenter and sure enough, it's on there. And I just was shocked, honestly.
It was a great play, but I mean, you've made that play. You made that play a few times, right?
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, it's a nice play, but like, you just kind of forget the level that, like, sometimes I forget the level that I'm playing at. So it's like now people actually notice stuff like that and see it on TV and whatnot, you know?
So this winter you're down in Australia. It's their summer. What's the temperature like?
Oh man.
Brutally hot? Is it?
No, yesterday it was 90 or 95, but it's super dry here. It's not like a, it's a nice heat. And personally that I like, New Jersey gets super humid, so like when it's 95 in New Jersey, it feels crazy.
So what's a typical, I know you generally play, you play four games a week, be it Thursday through Sunday or Friday through Sunday with a doubleheader on Saturday. What's a general week like for you guys, the days where you're not playing? What are you doing to keep busy? How do you enjoy Adelaide down there?
I play golf every once in a while. I don't have my clubs down here, so I only do that every once in a while. But usually it's I'll go practice at 10 a.m. in the morning. Straight after practice, I'll go to the gym, and then after the gym, go to the beach.
So that's what you're I know we're taping this in the morning. What time is it? 8:18, 8:08,
Is
8:08,
8:09.
8:09 a.m. your time. So you go to the field, workout, and then go to the beach for the rest of the day. That's kind of a general day.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you surf?
No, I don't surf.
No.
There's actually not too many waves here where we're at because the beaches are like on a bay, so it's pretty
Okay.
calm. It's really nice.
What has surprised you about Australia? Like, what compared to what you had expected when you headed out there?
I think what has surprised, well, for one, I have to drive on the other side of the road, which is was a surprise for a while. I'm
How
kind of
long did it
used to
take
it
you to
now,
get
but
used to it?
I would say probably like a week. Me and Anthony carry on are roommates here, and we would just take turns driving to and from practice to just kind of get used to it, because we share a car. But now, I think what has surprised me really is the competition. I can't say I wasn't like expecting it to be that great, but it's been really good. I mean, like I said, Brisbane, the team we played last week, ran out. I mean, they didn't run out an arm that threw less than 92 miles per hour. They were all like high A, double A guys from the US, so they were all pretty good. And I would say like there's a lot of hidden talent here, like with some Australians that haven't quite gotten their chance, maybe in the States or elsewhere, but there's a lot of hidden talent here that I didn't know about.
What's been your favorite thing to do besides go to the beach or play golf?
Let's see. Honestly, just play with this team because we are such a like a tight-knit group for just being together for only 2 months. I mean, we have a team get together, like everyone's there. It's a great atmosphere, that and I think that's why we play so well together.
You guys were 3-5 to start the year, and you gave up 23 runs in that game on November 20th against, I don't even know how do you pronounce, Geelong?
Geelong, Korea.
Geelong, Korea, yeah. So, and then from there you won 13 games in a row. What was the turning point?
I think we played Melbourne, who is who we played this weekend, directly after that Geelong Korea series, which Melbourne is like I would say the biggest rival that we have down here.
Okay.
And I think everybody was just kind of fired up for that series. We were getting some guys together too, because there was a couple guys playing it for Team Australia, and they were doing a World Baseball Classic like warm up against Team Japan. So like Rixon was there, a couple of our pitchers. So we got all those guys back. We got our team in full form, and I think everyone was just fired up to play that Melbourne series. So, and then
And
they
then you got to
swept
go play.
them, and then from
Yeah,
there was
13
good.
in a row. So you guys fly around. Obviously, Australia's a big country. You guys fly around all over the place. Do you prefer the bus or the air?
Well, I don't mind flying. It's obviously a lot quicker, but
I
I
mean, some of
mean,
those places you can't bus.
we can't bus to any of them, so it'd be brutal if we had to bus to them. But I don't know, either or. If it's more than 5 hours on a bus, I'm out. 4 hours is fine, but
So
outside of that,
you said you're going to fly tomorrow and then play tomorrow night.
yeah.
So what
The
time's your
flight to
fl
Melbourne's only like It should be at like 9 or 10 a.m., but the flight's only like 45 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad. So I remember talking to you in when you were here at the beginning of last year, and you had talked about how you went to high school in Hagerstown, Maryland, from West Virginia, but up near the border there. And you went to a bunch of games with at the where the Suns played in the old Municipal Stadium, which I believe just got torn down within the last couple of months. And they're going to build a new stadium there at some point soon. What do you remember about going to Hagerstown Suns games? And who are some of the players that you remember seeing there?
So I grew up a Nats fan, so I always went to those games. But, I mean, specifically, I remember, obviously, Bryce Harper was – the big one that I went to go see all the time, got his autograph.
And you were probably
I would have been
that was 11, that was 2011,
10 or 11,
yeah,
something like 10, 11, 12.
Yeah, that was 2011, so you would have been, yeah, 12, turned 12 in May that year, yeah.
Yeah, so I would always go over there.
I remember we were there,
Strasburg.
We were there for his first game, Harper's first game.
And oh, really?
They had opened in – or his first home game. And they had opened in Georgia. So nobody had seen him or whatever.
Yeah.
It was an unbelievable circus. It was crazy.
Yeah.
And then I remember when he came here for the first time in the middle of May. And, yeah, we had like 7,500 people or something on a Friday night in May just to see him. And there were tons of people, autographed merchandise, baseballs. People had like that oversized Sports Illustrated cover that they wanted to sign. It was nuts. It was, but yeah, Bryce Harper in the Sally League was, that was quite the event every day.
Yeah. It's funny because when I think back about going to all those Suns games, whenever I was younger, I don't remember any of the teams that they played that I saw them play against. I just remember going to see the Suns play and watching Bryce Harper. Steven Strasburg was another one that I watched. But outside of that, I don't remember a whole lot of other players because those two were so big that was like, if you were going to a Suns game, that's who you were going to see.
Yeah, they had Wilmer Defoe was really good when he was there. Victor Robles was really, really good when he was there. And they always had a bunch of – oh, and Soto, but Soto was only there for a little while. You might have even been in college right at that point.
Yeah, I didn't go – well, I don't remember going – I hadn't been to a game in so long. But, yeah.
You probably saw the Blue Claws there.
Yeah, I probably did.
Yeah.
I just don't remember.
What, did you play other sports or were you all baseball?
I played basketball in high school. I played a year of football too, but I wasn't very good at football. But I played basketball. I would like to say I was pretty decent at basketball, but I was on like a really good high school team, so I never got to play.
At what point did you think that you could play baseball collegiately or professionally?
I didn't really realize that until maybe my sophomore year of college. I got the opportunity to go play college summer ball in a pretty good league, the Coastal Plains League. And I also, in 2019, our center fielder before me got drafted in the fourth round, and he kind of was on the I was on like the same path as him where I went down to that summer ball. Yeah, I went down to that summer ball league, played, did really well, came back to school, had a good year. So I started getting scouted out of that. So that was kind of when I started to realize.
So the draft process, were the Phillies in the mix? Did you think you'd get taken by them? How did that season go? Hoping to get drafted, expecting to get drafted? How did that whole summer play out there? Because obviously you were drafted in 2021, but you're coming out of a year where your season got lost because of COVID, and then going into 2021, how'd you approach everything and had the Phillies play into it?
Yeah, so in 2020, actually, I thought there was a pretty good chance I was going to get drafted, but then when they lowered the draft down to five rounds, it was kind of going to be tough for me to get drafted the top five rounds. So in that summer in 2020, I actually got offered to sign as a free agent by the Phillies and other like 8 or 9 other teams. So I was kind of in a limbo. I was thinking about signing. I was also thinking about going back. But I was like on the fence until the very last minute, and the Phillies were the team I was actually going to sign with if I signed as a free agent. I decided to go back to school, and then the following year, the Phillies drafted me anyway. So it kind of worked out exactly how I wanted it to anyways.
So when you were going through that, it's a little different than, I guess it's sort of like recruiting, right? Because the Phillies and the big organizations, obviously they're not drafting you. They're pitching to you why you should sign with them. And obviously there's a cap on the bonus, so that doesn't play into it at all either. It's just a matter of their presentation to you. So what about the Phillies' presentation back then attracted you to them, even though you ended up deciding to go back to school?
It was just the scouting and the interest that they showed. The scout that I had was very, like, very, very good and very personable. Always came up and talked to me and my parents. He was never too much in your face, because sometimes they can get a little too much in your face. And then like my Zoom meetings I had and stuff with the all the staff and everything were very good. So I just really liked the way that I was treated by them in the whole process.
What is a typical Zoom meeting like? What do they pitch to you about their development plan, or what were they focusing on?
Yeah, it's just basically like your development plan, kind of how, and maybe a little like an outline and into the future of how they may or may not develop you. Just kind of let you know that like you're a priority no matter what. We're going to try to get everything out of you, type stuff like that.
And you said you talked to a bunch of different teams. That was that kind of a whirlwind process?
It had to be a little for sure, different, because, right? Yeah, it actually helped me out, because when I was on the field, so it was kind of, I had a lot of scouts come and watch me that summer because they wanted to sign me as a free agent. So like, it was kind of, it almost got to the point where it was like too much. And I was just like, I just want to play baseball. So I kind of just like, when I was on the field, I just forgot about everything except for baseball. And it actually helped me play better.
This is the summer of 20.
This is 2020. Yes.
Yeah. So you ended up playing, you played in the Coastal Plain League in 2020.
Yeah.
But you didn't play, but college season was basically wiped out, right?
Yeah. The college season was canceled, and the Coastal Plains League was like one of the only leagues that was playing at the time. So that's what, and I went down there and played.
Going into 2021, or going into the draft in 2021, did you obviously thought the Phillies, and you had a list of a few other teams that you thought you might go to? Like, had you stayed in contact with the Phillies through the pre-draft process?
Yeah.
When you found out you were drafted, where were you?
I was sitting on my back porch at home in West Virginia.
And they called?
I was getting
or
nervous.
Were you watching, or they called you?
I actually, so I was watching on my phone, or I was listening on my phone, and I heard my name called before anybody called me. My agent didn't call me. Nobody from the Phillies called me. I heard my name called, and I was like, whoa. No, my heart just like dropped, because I was not expecting it at all. Obviously I was expecting to get drafted at some point, but I didn't know that was going to be the exact moment.
Yeah. And you probably thought that you might hear it from the Phillies, your agent or whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, one of my best friends got drafted like 10 picks before me. So I was like on my phone typing up a text to him, like congratulating him. And that's when it like popped up. So I wasn't even like paying attention really.
When you heard your name, what's kind of like your reaction? Because it's something that you've obviously you dream about since you're a young player, young kid. What's that kind of realization like?
It was crazy. I didn't even have an emotion at first. And my heart just stopped. It just dropped like right there, and I was like, wow, it really just like that was a moment I've been waiting for my entire life. So you know.
So to circle back to where you are right now in Australia, you know, you guys have 2 more weeks left in the season. Then they have the playoffs. By the time you get back stateside, it's probably
early February, and hopefully you go win the championship. So you're talking, you know, early to mid February. Then you're gonna go, you'll be home for about half an hour, and then get back to Florida and get ready for the 2023 season. You know, are you ready for that? And you know, you're gonna end up in a stretch where you're playing probably what 10 and a half months out of a 12 month period or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely ready. I'm interested to see. So last year was my first spring training ever. Last year I got to spring training and I kind of started off really slow. And I'm interested to see how winter ball affects how I start out at spring training, because if I start out hot and do well in spring training, winter ball is going to be something I want to do every year and try to do every year. As long as I'm healthy and can do it. But yeah, I'm excited to get back and see some of my teammates again and just get after it.
Because I think last year, you know, you definitely played better, I thought, like June, July on, than probably April, May, right?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely started out really slow. And again, like I said, I want to try to prevent that this year. And I'm hoping that maybe winter ball and seeing, I'm upwards at like 130 or something at bats in the winter here. So I'm hoping that helps me going into the fall or going into the spring.
What are your goals for 2023?
I want to make double A for sure at some point, whether it's from the start or later in the year. I think that's my biggest goal, and I want to stick around in double A.
That's your big goal going in?
Yeah.
Well, very good. I don't want to keep it. I know you got to get to the stadium to work out this morning. Don't want to get tank pissed at me, so we'll let you let you go. But be sure to say hello to everybody. Tank, Rickson, Anthony, and everybody else down there with the Philly. So wish you the best of luck. Continued success. Thanks for a few minutes, and hopefully you guys go win the championship down there.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks to Jared Carr for a few minutes joining us from Australia, and good luck to the Adelaide Giants this weekend as they take on Melbourne in the penultimate series of the regular season in Australia. The Adelaide Giants roster we talked to Jared, of course, but Anthony Kurion, who was with the Blue Claws in 2022, is down there as well. So too Rickson Wingrove, who is the first baseman for the Adelaide Giants and a longtime first baseman down there. They have a few other Phillies on the roster, including Bubby Roseman, a pitcher who got a cup of coffee with the Phillies this year. Austin Ross has been in the Philly system for a little while. Jordan Fowler, who was with the Blue Claws for the last week of the season last year. Starlin Castillo, one of their starting pitchers, one of the better starting pitchers that they have. He'll likely be with the Blue Claws in 2023 at some point, if not right at the beginning of the season, then later on. He came back from Tommy John surgery and struggled a bit with Clearwater last year, but he's had a good winter, and hopefully my guess is he'll start with Clearwater, but then work his way up to the Blue Claws later on this year. He's a pretty well-regarded starting pitcher who will turn 21 years old coming up on the 24th of February. Lightstar Energy Group is a leading energy brokerage firm headquartered in New Jersey. Our goal is to provide clients with premium energy management services to lower electricity and natural gas costs, and to provide a long-term energy management strategy. We pride ourselves on bringing each and every individual business the same benefits of deregulation enjoyed by universities, municipalities, and all high-volume energy users. Tailored products and contracts, lower cost, personal attention, and outstanding service. 732-722-5880. 732-722-5880. To learn more about Lightstar Energy Group today. Blue Claws Virtual Job Fair is ongoing, and the team is hiring for a wide variety of game day positions throughout the ballpark. So just a quick rundown. You can head over to blueclaws.com, and on the top right, you'll see a banner that says we're hiring, or right in the panel in the main middle of the screen, you'll see a story about the upcoming virtual job fair. So the team will be interviewing potential candidates from January 16th through January 27th and hiring from there. Positions include game day operations positions like security, parking, bat persons, kid zone attendants and greeters, ticket takers, box office positions, and then retail positions such as in the Claws Cove, and then a wide variety of food and beverage positions, cashiers, food runners, portable food attendants, picnic attendants, cooks, hospitality area positions, including bartenders and suite services and servers and food runners and party deck attendants, and then daytime and nighttime warehouse positions as well, plus production positions like camera operator, music, show control, technical director, all that good stuff, and promotions positions like on-field MC, members of the Claws crew, the promotional team, and mascot performers as well. So there's a lot going on there. Positions start at $14.13 per hour and go up, and we are hiring for the summer. So it's a great place to work. You'll really enjoy it. It's a fun summer job, part-time positions that will run through the season, and then some of them will have the opportunity to get added hours for special events and the like as well. So Blue Claws Virtual Job Fair, you can go to blueclaws.com, click the button, and you'll see links to apply for various positions. Fill out the forms and go from there. So we're looking forward to a very successful virtual job fair. The interviews will be done virtually from January 16th through January 27th. Blue Claws Virtual Job Fair. For more information, log on to blueclaws.com. January 1st, New Year's Day, was actually 100 days to go until opening night. So that'll be pretty exciting. And we are going to put together a fun season promotional schedule. We're going to start to release those coming up over the coming weeks. Opening night at the Jersey Shore is Tuesday, April the 11th, coming up just a few weeks away. So 13 weeks from yesterday, from Tuesday, 91 days. Today is January 11th, 90 days to go until opening night. So a very exciting time. Season number 22 of baseball with the Blue Claws this year. Thanks for listening to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Please like, rate, review, and subscribe, and you'll get the podcasts downloaded directly into your phone or iPad or whatever you want when they are released. We're going to do a couple of preview episodes as we get closer and closer to spring training. Believe it or not, we're only about a month and a week, 5 weeks or so, from when big league pitchers and catchers will report to spring training. At some point soon, probably, the Phillies will announce their list of, you know, 20 or so non-roster invitees that will join the 40-man roster players in Clearwater. Just this week, they're having a high-performance camp for a bunch of prospects. Steve Potter, who was our guest right before Christmas on Hook, Line, and Splitter, is down there. You can read his reports at philliesbaseballfan.com as well. Thanks to Jared Carr for joining us all the way from Australia, wishing the Adelaide Giants all the best in 2023 as they head towards, hopefully, the postseason and maybe their first Australian League baseball title in a couple of years. So rooting for the Adelaide Giants, of course, number of former Blue Claws and Phillies in there this year. So go Giants. Thanks to Jared Carr for a few minutes, and we'll see you soon. Thanks for listening to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast.